You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan, but you knew that already, didn't you? You listened to the opening. It said, Richard Lannan, Set for Success. I know, I'm just repeating things. We're going to continue our journey to create a roadmap to help you change your business, your career, and life. And how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, so you can create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. You know what? I'd like you to say that right now. I deserve to be successful. Listen, whether it's in your business, in your career, your personal life, it's all connected. You do deserve to be successful, and I wish you all the success in the world. Now, if anything else, you know that I love quotes. I always try to do the Set for Success quote at the beginning of the show, and this is the one that popped out this morning as I Googled it on the internet. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. Some people don't understand that. Social media is more than like a telephone than a television. That was by Amy Jo Martin. It's author of Renegades Writes the Rules. And if you don't know anything about Amy, I didn't actually know anything about her until this morning, to be honest with you. She's an author and entrepreneur and speaker and founder of CEO of Digital Royalty. And she's headquartered out of the U.S. And the company's basically involved in a social media and education company that helps individuals and brands build, measure, and monetize their digital universe. So I guess that was just a little plug for Amy. Amy, hey, you don't know me? But I just sort of threw it out there because I used the quote for you, and thank you from the quote. Or I used the quote from you, so thank you for the quote. I think my guest is on the other side right now laughing at me as I'm tripping over some of my words, but I'm pretty casual with what I do. Have you ever wondered what is new on the internet? Now, that's a strange or large question to be asked indeed, don't you think? My mother-in-law actually asked me that question from time to time. You got to understand, now she's 90, and recently she asked me what's new on Facebook. On social media. I pause for a moment. How do you answer that question? Like, just think about it for a second. The internet is the vast and complex environment that my generation made possible. And as a social aspect of the internet, or what we deem as being social media, relationships are created or dismissed at a click of a button. Just think about it for a second. How many times have you said dismissed, ignore, erase, delete, or yeah, accept? You know, at a click of a button, the relationship is there or it's gone. The way you forge those relationships is as important as the relationships you create with people in your own community. You know, like the people that you meet when you're walking down the street, the people that you meet each day. Well, where did that come from? Now, maybe look that up. Often I think it gets missed in our business community. My dad used to say that home is where you hang your hat. I think that applies to social media too. If you can envision for your business, your career, finding your place to create a dialogue, build your brand with your preferred target, and if you accept, and if they accept you, then I guess you figured out where to hang your hat, your brand. But I don't think it is as simple as that. There is very personal essence that goes with creating a community. In business, we sometimes miss that point, especially when using social media. Where you hang your hat is essentially or especially equated to what social media platform you're on, what you use, you know, and we can talk about different social media platforms. I can start listing them off for you if you want, and the actions that you take, and those actions that you take every single day. And you know what? I'm probably guilty right now of not keeping up my social media actions, the things that I need to do every day to be successful with my business. So I want to try to help you at least be successful with yours. So what is next on the internet? And is my business where it should be? I mean, that's really the question you should be asking. What should you be doing on the internet? And is your business successful as it could be on the internet? Those are great questions in the world of relationships through the online world. Relevant and engaged presence that we require. So where do you hang your hat? That's the question of today. So as I gave the show some thought, I wondered who could come in and share with us their thoughts on social media, maybe various approaches that they've used to build their business community or build client business communities. Heck, just maybe tell us a little bit about their business overall. And I've been looking forward to chatting with this person for a while since I've actually have had conversations with them several times. So maybe I can get to ask the big question, what is new on the internet? I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Allison Shane to Set for Success today. Allison, thank you for coming and hanging out and hanging your hat with me today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me back.
I am so glad that you're here. So, Allison, you know what? Just before we started the show, you and I had the opportunity to talk about what's new with you.
Yeah.
Right? And I think maybe that's where we'll start is sort of like when I first met you, you were the lone sole proprietor working in your dark, dingy basement.
I wouldn't describe it that way. It's like a bright, nice basement.
Bright nice basement. All right, so you painted the walls white.
That's true.
And you threw in some lights and working on your social media presence. But you started off with one in a company, but now I understand that you've built your company up with some bodies. You've got some people you're working with.
Yeah, I think we're up to 6 or 7. I just hired last week, so I think we're up to 6 or 7 on the team now. And yeah, it's been an interesting transition to go from a freelancer to now managing a group of people.
Okay.
I really like it. As it turns out, management really agrees with me.
Surprise, eh?
Surprise, being an A-type, you know. But yeah, so we've been experiencing a period of really rapid growth within my organization. And so me as the business owner, like we incorporated last year, we have 3 or 4 copywriters on the team. We have a couple account managers on the team. I have this incredible gentleman who works for me who does Google AdWords for some of our clients. And I think the process of going from sole proprietorship to like running this actual company has just, it was something that I never anticipated. Mm. And to sort of bring this back full circle to what you were commenting on, I still run it all out of my dingy basement.
You still, so you're a virtual business.
I do.
And I think that's awesome. So let's back that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Your dingy basement. I was just messing with you
because
I could see you smiling at me on the other side of the table. Let's just tell our listeners, first of all, what your business does.
Oh, of course. Sorry, yes. I should have introduced myself.
That's okay.
I'm Allison Shane. I'm a business owner here in Winnipeg. I run a digital marketing agency called Starling Social.
Yes.
And we focus primarily on the content component of social media. So we work with companies to develop a strategy that it takes into consideration not just what you say on social media and where you say it, but how does that tie into what you give to your customers? How does your web content, your blogs, your gated content, or your lead generation pieces that you create tie into social media conversations that don't just promote your business or your product and service, but communicate that value to your customers and show them that you're the person to solve their problems, not the competition. Yeah,
and so you're creating a presence for your clients on the internet.
It's about storytelling.
Yeah, it's about storytelling. I love it. Out of curiosity, just to give some emphasis, what size clients are you generally working with, or what size organizations are you generally working with?
I would say that for the most part, we're sort of a medium enterprise kind of company right now. We've had a couple like small to mediums for a while. We do a lot of nonprofit work. We've just, like I said, we're sort of going through this period of rapid growth. So I think we're sitting at about a couple dozen clients overall, ranging from a couple of like entrepreneurs who we're just doing some consulting with to multinational companies.
Multinational companies. So there can be some breadth in there engaged. Mm-hmm. How many years ago did you start this company?
I've been running Starling full-time for 4 years, and I was freelancing for 2 years before that.
So about 6 years.
About 6.
I mean, when you started off and everything, doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. So I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break, but when we come back, we'll get Allison to tell us a little bit about what's new on the internet. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. We've got a big question to ask here. And the big question is, what's new on the internet? And this is going to be crazy because I got Allison Shane here to help answer that question with me today. And she's looking at me like, really, Richard? How could you ask me that question? What's new on the internet? So why don't we actually start there? I know you got like a digital social media company. Is that how we categorize it?
It's a digital marketing. It's a catch-all.
So with that sort of big question that I keep being asked, you know, I'm going to tell you a story. I went to a coffee shop this week and I was sitting down. And you know, sometimes when you go to a coffee shop and you're sitting down, you're by yourself. You want to be by yourself, right? You don't want to be talking to people. You just want to have your coffee and everything. And this guy leans over to me and said, "Did you see what's new on the internet today?" And
Did that really happen?
Amazing. That actually happened. And then he had this whole conversation with me about something happened in South America and the power outage and you know, those kind of things. And I just sort of went, wow, you know, like do I look like the person that people should be asking this question to? So I'm going to ask it to you. What's new on the internet?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, if you want to, I could talk to you about lots of different things that are on the internet. Sure.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, for the purpose of your readers in this conversation, I would say the biggest thing that I have been, like, I spend a lot of time looking up, you know, I could talk to you about like social networks and different metrics and like things like that. But I mean, high level, Facebook engagement is going down. Mm-hmm. Facebook is not the social network it once was to connect with your audience. LinkedIn is growing. Instagram is like the hottest one on the market right now. And Twitter is sort of it's really strong and important for companies to be on it, but you're only targeting a specific type of user or journalists or a specific type of audience.
Okay.
Now, more broadly speaking, and the thing that I'm really interested in, especially because I'm a writer, not just a marketer, right?
Yeah.
Is I read this article recently that was talking about how Google and social networks index website content. If you aren't publishing new content on your website often, generally in the context of a blog post, which is usually the easiest one, as I think you know, you are going to get hit on your search engine results page. Your rankings, your organic rankings are going to go down. Mm-hmm. And social networks are starting to really prioritize fresh content. So if you're sharing a blog post from 6 months ago versus a blog post from a week ago, that blog post from a week ago is going to get significantly more traction, not just because it's better content or it's shared at the right time or any of the little tricks that marketers like myself like to use to try and optimize viewership. But it's simply going to get more visibility because it's new. And so the internet is moving away from just static content, pieces that you can kind of come back to and sort of this network building idea to fresh content, helpful things. Like the internet is moving towards a place where businesses need to be helpful. Mm. And the best way to signal to a social network or a search engine or to your customer at the end of the day that you are a helpful business there to help them is to be continually updating your website
new
and producing
content.
That fresh content. Yeah.
I agree with you there. And you know, this, and you know what? I'll put myself out there. Okay. So we'll do sort of a thing back and forth here. So one of the things that I did that I know is a big social media mistake is I took 12 months off. Right.
Ooh.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So what? So I saw my numbers drop. Mm-hmm. Right. But I did it because I needed to. Mm-hmm. Right. Because the amount of effort that goes into maintaining your social media presence mm-hmm. is like the amount of effort it goes into maintaining a marriage.
It's huge.
It's huge. It's an investment of your time. Mm-hmm. Right. How do you deal with that with your clients?
Well, I hired people.
I hired people. Awesome.
No,
awesome.
I'm serious. Like one of the most important things that I've learned in business is you need to be able to understand when you are holding on to things and not delegating. And as somebody who is very detail oriented, I really love what I do. And I really believe in this idea of brand storytelling and helping people and using social media and content marketing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really hard for me when I first brought on my first account manager a couple years ago to let go. And I really CC me on every single email. I want to make sure I see everything that's going out, all that kind of stuff. And over the last couple of years, I've kind of gotten to this point where it just sort of runs itself. And I look at it from a high view and it actually helps me think more strategically about what my clients are doing and what my team are doing for them. Because I have the mental room to breathe.
Yeah,
and
you're not in the grass or the weeds. You're
exactly.
thinking at the higher level.
And so, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but after coming back from 12 months, did you feel invigorated about doing it again? Did you come back with fresh ideas? Because that's always been my experience.
Fresh ideas. For a while there, I was writing an article professionally every 2 weeks.
Yeah, you were probably got a lot of content.
For another company. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'm writing my own stuff. And then, of course, I do a podcast. Mm-hmm. Right? And I still put out a lot of content. I'm just not keeping it as fresh as it was.
Right.
And I already know that I have to go through the cycle of cleaning it all up. And but now I have two new train of thoughts around, and maybe this will help the listeners too, right? Around what segments to go after next, right? And I think that might happen with a lot of clients. It's sort of mm-hmm. You have this business, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe you're B2C, right? Mm-hmm. Business to consumer. Maybe you're B2B, business to business. But then it's you could have these different categories. And how do you address these two categories or these three segments that you're dealing with when you have to put out all the content? So go ahead. You got thoughts on that one.
You can see my eyebrows
going across the table. I got another question for you too about hiring resources, but go for it on that one.
So very quickly, the way that we... Because to your point, having multiple target audiences, which is what you're talking about, different B2C. But within B2C and B2B, there are different types of people you want to talk to. Maybe there's an entrepreneur. Maybe you want to be talking to a CEO in some content. So what we do within my organization is when we onboard a new client, if they don't have this in place already, we develop buyer personas for them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, I call them avatars.
Yeah, so an avatar, buyer persona, same kind of idea.
Yeah.
In nonprofits, they call them donor personas. It's a similar kind of idea.
Yeah.
But by breaking it up into these segments, we can often figure out, okay, well, these people care about this topic, these people care about this topic. And it's just a matter of fitting it into your content calendar and prioritizing the content that you know is going to resonate most with your audience.
Yeah, I love the fact that you said content calendar. I call it a campaign calendar.
Yep.
So we use different words, but we mean the same thing, right? And recently, I had the opportunity to speak to a group of professional speakers about developing a business plan, a two-page business plan for the independent professional, right? And that was one of the things I talked about, was the importance of actually figuring out the prioritization, figuring out your message, your avatar, and then figuring out your campaign calendar and laying it down for 12 months. Don't try to build this sort of five-year plan type thing, right? That's just crazy, right?
Well,
let's try break it down into small chunks and go from there.
And here's the thing. When it comes to content marketing planning and thinking about what you're putting on the internet, things change so quickly and you have to be adaptive. And we plan out our word salad there.
That's all right.
I'm like tripping up here. So we plan out our content calendars about a year in advance, and we do a quarterly review each quarter with the client to talk about which pieces of content were really successful. If there's something we want to do differently, is there a theme we want to explore that maybe resonated with our audience that we want to bring back into what we're going to be talking about in a future piece? So we plan it all out in a year, and then we review it on a quarterly and then a six-month basis as well.
So I think what we'll do is we'll talk about that review and the campaign calendar, and we'll talk about getting people to help you, right? Because what do you do to actually get good quality people to help you develop your presence on the internet? Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. I'm hanging out with Allison Shane. Allison today is my new best friend. I always like to call her that, you know, whenever we're hanging out. Hey, you're my new best friend. We were talking a bit about the whole idea of, I call them campaign calendars. You call it?
Content calendar.
Content calendar. We mean basically the same thing. But an interesting thing is you said in the last segment, you have to delegate. You got to let go. So that means you had to hire resources to help you. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could speak that a little bit, because guarantee there are other people out there like you and me, right? Mm-hmm. Because we run sort of very similar types of businesses. You've grown yours. I'm sort of on the other side of mine, where I'm, you know, trying to be a little bit more mellow lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't do it all, right? So give me the aspect of actually getting people to help you with all of this sort of social media stuff.
I would say that the thing that indicated to me that I needed to bring someone on board was that I couldn't handle my workload. And it wasn't just that I could do it. It's that the quality of the work that I was delivering wasn't my best. And I was handling all of the copy. When I was freelancing, I had all the copy and all the social, all the strategy was all me. So the most time-consuming component of it, and the area where I often felt my own efforts lacking or slipping, rather, not lacking, but just I wasn't always as on as I could have been, was in the copy component. So I'm very fortunate. I know a lot of CRECOM kids. I have a big Twitter following. So when I put out feelers, I already kind of had a couple of people that I knew that I could reach out to and who were qualified enough to write at the level that I needed. And then with the account management component, it sort of became the same thing. I just literally didn't have enough hours in the day to do the stuff I was doing. And I was finding that I don't want to feel like doing something for a client or something work related feels like a chore. I don't want to, like, everybody has days where they're like, oh, I really don't want to do this. Like, don't feel like it. But, you know, was it Steve Jobs that said, you know, if you wake up too many days in a row and you think the same thing and you're upset about it or you're sad or you're finding it, you're disappointed, change it. So for me, the only appropriate avenue, like, I didn't want to stop scaling my company. I just needed to find somebody who could support me. And that was challenging for me personally, like I said, in terms of letting go. But I'm very fortunate in the sense that being a writer, I'm very process-based. I'm good at breaking things down into steps. So when I realized that I wanted to onboard somebody, I literally sat down in a Google Drive document and bulleted out every single step that I wanted them to take in the exact order I wanted them to take them. And I felt super neurotic doing that, like sitting down there writing, like, you know, log on to www.facebook.com, log in using these, kind of thing. It sounds redundant.
SOP.
Right. But what I learned and what I've learned in the years since is that providing people with the specific steps to get them to do what you want. So social media, you know, there's a lot of things you need to think about. There's certain ways you use specific tools, you know, different ways you think about posting strategy, all that. And by documenting all of that out and having it available for the people who work for me as a resource, so they don't have to keep coming to me, they can just refer back to the documentation, learn it on their own. And then, like, my goal with all of that is to get them to a point where they are using all their tools like second nature. They don't have to think twice about how to log into something or where a piece of content is going to be or how to communicate with a client. They can sort of go through all those motions and then have the mental space, like I talked about earlier, to be creative.
Yeah.
And that's my goal with everyone I bring on board, is to empower them, not just to get the job done, but to get good enough at the base, like the motor function part of digital marketing that nobody really likes, and to make that just second nature. So they're thinking about big picture stuff and they can apply their creative energies to things that actually add value instead
of
just, rote sort of tasks.
It's interesting that you would say that, because so here's the difference between you and I. This is probably one of the areas that I've maybe haven't done as well in my business, is that I've written standard operating procedures for certain things and I have subbed out some of the work periodically, but I've gone through a period of not subbing it out. So, but then now you're stuck with all that work. And what I hear you saying is doing the SOP, the standard operating procedure, and then finding somebody to fill that task, to follow that system, to make sure that your podcast is posted regularly, to make sure that your blog is updated, or even writing the blog for you, pulling content from stuff that you have and putting it out there.
And I'm like, my job is essentially to sort of project manage. So, and I'm moving out of that role even. Like I'm, it's kind of crazy. So I don't, are you familiar with any project management software at all?
I'm a former senior project manager.
Okay, so what's your favorite PM tool?
Well, you know what? I've used the Microsoft one, but years ago I used to use the Royal Royce version of it, but I can't recall what it is offhand, but there's some big ones out there.
Yeah. I'm a big Trello fan myself.
Trello?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's based on a software development procedure where you move post-its from one end of a wall to another as you move through stages of completing a project. Yeah. And Trello allows you to create a card that you can attach things to and checklists. And what I do is I create whatever card for a task we need. I assign all our team members to it. I bring the clients in who need to talk to it or be involved or whatever, approve it. And then it just moves from left to right on the Trello board and I never touch it again.
Oh, okay.
So
as things actually happen and checkboxes get ticked
off. And to your point about the SOP, is that what you call it?
Yes, standard operating procedure.
Having that kind of documentation in place, even at like, you know, going from a one person freelancer, kind of working out of my basement to now having multiple people, it just means that when I hire, I can scale.
Yeah.
You know, I just had a new hire. We had coffee the other day. I took her out for breakfast. We went over all of our new client stuff together. And I literally just copied all of the documentation that I've created 5 or 6 times now, replaced all the names and handed it off to her, because it's the same steps, right? Like if you're posting to Facebook, there's only so many ways you can post to Facebook, right? There's a lot of strategy that you can use in how you do it. But the rote component of it, and the basic steps that I want people to take are things that I found that by being directed in my effort and in how I want them to be directed has taken a ton off my plate, to the point where like I said, I just watch things happen without me, and it's kind of crazy.
Quite nice.
Yeah.
So you're running a virtual business,
yep.
right? Which I want to tie back into that too, because you have 5-6 people are working for you.
Yep.
And let's speak to that a little bit, because you're obviously using tools, I'm going to call them productivity tools, that are virtual, that are allowing you to effectively run your business. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. So we run everything in the cloud.
Yeah.
The bane of my existence is a Word document that gets passed back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It hurts.
I have clients that still email attachments all the time, and I actually have a cloud situation. I send them links, and they still can't find the document.
Yep.
And I was like, really? I taught you how to do this. You got the link in the email. Just update it there.
Anyway. I just mash everybody into the hole I need them to fit. Like if we've onboarded some clients who are very not tech friendly and not tech savvy. And my response is, well, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
And this is how we do it well. So we need to just fall into lockstep. And yes, you know what, maybe attaching something in Trello does require a little bit of extra training, but the efficiency and getting them on.
But the efficiency happens.
It's important, yeah.
So we'll take a short break, and I think what we'll do is we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about the whole idea of being productive in your business and that whole idea of productivity management, because it sounds to me like from a virtual perspective, you're getting it down. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Allison Shane. Allison, just before the break, we were talking a bit about the virtual company, the idea of working in the cloud, and some tools that you're using to become more productive. So during the break, we had the opportunity to sort of chat about that a bit. So let's get into that sort of productivity thing. What are you doing?
Sure. So the one that I was talking about before the break was Trello.
Yeah, Trello.
It's a project management tool. I personally find I use the expression idiot-proof a lot because it's so simple. Mm. Like, and it's got really good documentation online. But that, for me, is the tool that I use to allow our team or my team to connect with our clients in a space where everybody can see what's going on. And the issue that I've run into with email is that you can't. It's hard to follow what's happening.
It's a bantering back of information.
It's a hot mess.
Suddenly you've got this whole thing that's happening where, you know what, if everybody just went online, it'd be, you know, it'd be a happy camper. Yeah. Trello, how do you spell that?
T-R-E-L-L-O.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's T-R-E-L-L-O. Mm-hmm. So, you know what, I haven't checked that tool out yet. I know when you asked me before, I was thinking, well, I use Basecamp, but you caught me off guard when you asked me my question. You know, but I like the idea that it uses the concepts of stickies. That was a very visual for me, because how many people use post-it notes in their business?
Well, exactly, right?
You know, I see your book over there. Well, I do it intentionally, right? Because we were talking about campaign calendars, and I actually keep everything digitally. Mm-hmm. But from a visual perspective, I need to see everything at a glance. Mm-hmm. So I like to see my year. And so I'm showing Allison my calendar. And
this is great.
I have color codes. And green is the color of money.
Right?
So all of my clients get green, and then all of my marketing gets yellow.
I like that.
And then I have different colors for different things.
And you can do that in Trello too. You can add colored labels to your carts.
Yeah, and I do that in my smartphone too, right? It's hooked up to my Google email, and I've, and stuff like that. So I'm openly sharing also.
Yeah.
But I just find from a planning perspective, I like to see everything big.
Yep. It's really helpful.
And then it's good, right? And I just sort of go from there.
Having a place where everybody can see what is happening and where it's at and its progress at a glance is really helpful.
Yeah.
The other tool that I would die without is Google Docs or Google Drive.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because you know what, there's always a battle between Microsoft Docs and Google Docs, but Google Docs is like, it's a freebie.
It's a freebie. It's so, okay, and if you have any nonprofit listeners out there, there is a program called Google for Nonprofits where you can get G Suite, which is Google will manage all of your email and stuff like that for free if you apply for it. So important to know. But Google Docs in particular is the editing or is the word of Google Drive.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is that someone on my team can write a draft for, let's say, a blog post. Our client can go in and use the suggestion function to add comments, add in their suggestions, and then we can go back and incorporate them and we can iterate on the document, but it doesn't mess up the document at all. It doesn't affect the version of the document.
No.
And what's important for me, because I don't have my fingers in every pie all the time, is I can go back and look at the historical comments versions, and I get email notifications anytime something moves through Trello or anytime someone changes something in Google Drive.
Yeah, so you have it all linked up. So I want to go to this too, because you're talking about Google Docs, but they also have spreadsheets and they also have PowerPoint presentation software and everything too. So I'll share with you two stories on that, because I use it for working with clients. Mm-hmm. And sometimes my clients are a little bit older or not as savvy in technology. And so I had that recently where I'm sitting down. I said, okay, just open this. I send them a link. I got them to open it up, and I was typing in the document as we were talking. Now, they're in another city somewhere else, and they're seeing the changes made on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about it, and they're sitting there going, this is amazing. like they never knew it actually existed, that you could do it. I did the same thing, too, also with spreadsheets. I do a lot of analysis type stuff, and same idea. Like, we were talking over something, and said, well, let's just do it right now, rather than do it and send it, blah, 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 blah. We're on the phone. Let's do it right now. I open it up, created it. you know, made a few typos. They saw everything. We did all the calculations, and they sat there and thought, yeah. This is awesome.
That's how it's we do all our conference
tool.
Calls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's how you do your conference calls, yeah. Right?
Yeah. We do screen shares. The conferencing software that we use, you can use Google Hangouts or Skype or Zoom or any
yeah.
of them. But
yeah.
a screen share, which is where the other person sees your screen, where you're typing into a document or filling out a spreadsheet in real time, and the document is shared with them on their screen in real time, is just... Like, I love living in the future. I don't know how business has got anything done before
amazing.
All these tools.
Amazing? Yeah.
Yeah, it's
and,
great.
And everything's accessible to you. And the mm-hmm. other piece is that from a small business owner, this is the point that I'm hoping we're making,
yeah.
and so I'm going to throw it back. But from a small business owner, you do not have to invest a lot of money
no,
to do this.
No, Google
this
Drive is free.
It's just there. It's yeah. there. It already yeah. exists for you. And mm-hmm. so I think that's an important piece because... businesses are always concerned about how much money they need to spend
yep.
to engage in technology. And you know what? Everything's right there on your fingertips. Mm-hmm. It's available.
Yeah.
I know that there was another direction we wanted to go in. We talked about it at the break, but I got into this particular one. Why don't we start here? If somebody wanted to get in touch with you and talk a little bit about the interesting work that you guys do, how do you do that?
Well, if you want to talk to me, you can find me online on website, my website, social media, etc. is Allison Shane. AlysonShane. My company's name again is Starling Social. Our website, this is important, we have a vanity URL, is Starling, Starling, like the bird, .social.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Same on all social media as
all
well.
All social media. So mm-hmm. basically, you've created that whole consistency and everything too.
Consistency is important.
So what's next for you guys? Like where are you going?
I mean, hopefully continued growth. Yeah. I feel like we're sort of at this hockey stick graph point with the company. Like, you know, you just sort of meet a couple of clients who sort of just sort of set things up for you and things are just sort of moving forward. It's good. I'm yeah. glad it's summertime. I'm looking forward to going to Folk Fest and getting yeah. away from my company for a couple of days while it runs without yeah. me. That'll yeah. be nice.
One of the things we also have had opportunities to talk about is being your authentic self.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in that space there, I understand you're a big cyclist, a big bus rider. What's the scoop on that?
Have a car.
You don't have a car.
I've never owned a vehicle.
So this is why I want to go here. I know that that's part of who you naturally are, but
yeah.
how do you run a company without owning a car?
You know what? It turns out nobody cares.
I know.
When I first started running my company, I felt very anxious about not owning a vehicle. And people will say like, oh, you don't have a car. I don't know how you can have a company without a car. You know how I do it? I cycle in the summertime. I bus or I walk to my meetings or I take a cab or a tap car. It's actually really, really easy. And because I have the good fortune to work for myself, I work from home. I live in Wolseley, so it's nice and central. And most people are happy to meet me wherever I want them to meet me.
Yeah.
So it's very, very rarely like I'm bussing out to the perimeter or something like that. And like I said, if I tell someone I don't have a car, generally speaking, they're okay with meeting me.
Yeah, they just meet you somewhere,
it's
right?
It's really not the status symbol that I think a lot of people used to consider it to be.
Yeah.
And it's almost like kind of a point of pride now that like I'm 31, I've never owned a car. Maybe we'll get one day. I really want to join the car share, though.
Yeah, you want to join the car
I do.
Share,
I want to join the car co-op. Yeah, there's a bunch yeah, of they yeah. just put a van in like a couple blocks from my house, and I'm like really excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, so there you go, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we identify those alternatives. Now I'm curious. Do you think this is sort of a so we're both a different generation? Is mm-hmm. that fair enough to say?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I like your generation. I want to be your age.
I like being a millennial.
Yeah. Do you think it's sort of a generational thing that type of perspective?
What's your
thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh, I have many thoughts on this.
Okay.
But yes, I think it is in large part a generational thing. I think the dependency on the vehicle is exacerbated in Winnipeg by a couple of things. One, a lot of young people grow up in suburbs and the only way to feel like you have a sense of autonomy is by having a car, because now you can leave
yeah,
your suburb
you can
or you can
or,
navigate
yeah.
your suburb or whatever. And to your point about generational change, like your generation and the ones that preceded it had this idea that like the automobile was like the vehicle of the future, and it was how you asserted your independence as a person and all this. Like there was all this personality and persona and this idea of you wrapped up in just owning a metal box that moves around fast. Like, it's so expensive. Every single person I know who says that they have a car, who has a car, the minute they find out that I don't have one, all they do is gripe about how much they hate their car and how much they want to get rid of it. So,
with that in mind, I just realized I opened a can of worms. So I think it would be awesome to do a show with a couple of millenniums where we talk about transportation.
Yeah.
That would be just awesome.
I can bring back many friends.
I'd be down with that. You know, Allison, you're a great guest. I've always enjoyed hanging out with you. And so I want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining me today. As for our listeners, I want to thank you also for joining us and listening to the show. And if you have a thought, a question, or maybe a thought, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.